The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Willie Adames is still a bad man. Brewers win in 10 innings today over the White Sox. I'm Dominic Catronio. 4-3. It took one extra inning today. Adames, the walk-off infield single. He was all the offense today, pretty much, for the crew. Three runs batted in today, including the game-tying single in the seventh, the game-winning single in the tenth. It was all about Willie Adames this afternoon. Craig Kishon's going to join us a little bit later on here in the program. The Brewers had their hands full with Garrett Crochet. Robert Gasser did not have his best, and yet the talent, by the sum of their parts, finishes on top at the end of the day. I mean, quite frankly, look, this... If you know a White Sox friend, a White Sox fan near and dear to your heart, just give them a hug, man. They're going through it right now. I look at what Garrett Crochet, I mean, I was so impressed with Garrett Crochet today. 19 swings and misses. The cutter looked unhittable. I mean, it was a Corbin Burns-esque cutter. He was attacking the zone, too. He was getting in-zone swings and misses. The Brewers had no answer for him. Joey Ortiz put a couple of good swings on him, but that was really it. Crochet was done after six, and he exits with a no decision because, once again, the Brewers got to the White Sox bullpen. When you think about it, the last couple of days, it's been all about what the Brewers have done late and what they have done against the White Sox bullpen. Furthermore, what the Brewers have done to the White Sox, and we got numbers to back this up as well. Looking at it in just these two games, and there's one more tomorrow, obviously, but when it comes to the pitching... The Brewers have not allowed a run out of their bullpen against the White Sox this series. They've only faced two over the minimum so far. Whereas all but one of the runs in today's game were scored against the bullpen. And in yesterday's game, all the chaos was scored against the bullpen. The Brewers did score four runs against Eric Fetty yesterday, but the other eight against the White Sox bullpen. Now, it's a reflection of both things. The Brewers' offense being good top to bottom and being relentless, as Pat Murphy likes to say, and the White Sox just not having the same amount of talent as maybe other teams in the big leagues, as they are going through a rebuild, as we know, with the worst record in baseball. And the Brewers, to my opinion today, a switch flipped in that seventh inning when Crochet was out of the game. They made Crochet work a career high in pitches thrown over 100 pitches. They knew they were going to face the quote-unquote A bullpen from the White Sox. They faced Anderson, they faced Leisure, and they faced Kopech. And they got the job done. Three more walks in that seventh inning to load the bases, and man, loading the bases has been a kryptonite, but they got the job done again today with Willie Adames just squeezing one up the middle. Again, another day the Brewers did not need a home run to win. Another day that the Brewers did not need to score first to win in the game. Just a very talented team, to say the least. That's what talented teams do. They, even when it seems like they're down in the dumps, they're facing a team that maybe you would expect them to win. There's no expectations in baseball. It does not matter who you're playing. But they got the bat on the ball when it mattered most. Willie in the 10th and Willie in the 7th. It's all about Willie Adames today. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the program today. This text coming in from the 715. Really like seeing Joey Ortiz in a leadoff spot against lefties with Terang in the 9. I think that's a smart move. It seems to be working pretty well. I agree. Adames so clutch and well done by the bullpen today. Never felt like this game was out of reach. They were trailing 3-1 majority of the contest, and they got the job done in the end. Mark in California, after all the griping on social media, it's funny that on the last play, the run-on contact was not on. Contreras was staying put. Well, it was the infield was in, and it was right at the shortstop, and Contreras is not the fastest runner. That was a play that, with nobody out as well, no sense in pushing it, make the read, and the read was stay put, and Remillard had to make a dive, could not hang on to it, scores the run. But I think Contreras froze because it was a liner, not because it was contact play was on. It was a sinking liner that just skipped in front of Remillard, which played into why that ball was not caught. Aaron in Illinois wasn't pretty, but tough grinding versus their best starting pitching. The crew just outworked and out-hustled and so forth. The Sox in another one without the need for a player of the game poll. But you can give the bullpen a ton of credit here as well. Five innings, one hit, no walks. It's been a minute since we won on a Sunday fun day. That'll be tomorrow. Freddie will fix it. Go, Crew, and 12 games over. This one from Doug. The key in this game was, again, hanging in with a good lefty and getting to the bullpen late. If they continue this, they are so dangerous. And generating momentum heading into one of your tougher series now, another big litmus test coming up this week on this road trip. You're going to go to Philly, best record in baseball. You're going to go to Detroit, who's sneaky competitive, and they've got some great arms in that starting rotation. But you've got a good test this week where you've got these ramps, right? You've got all the emotion of the Cubs series. You have maybe the lack thereof. Granted, 36,000 in the ballpark today, but the White Sox just doesn't have the same juice as the Cubs. Then you got the juice of going to Philly and Reese's return to Philadelphia. And then maybe the juice comes down a little bit against Detroit. And that's not disrespectful to Detroit. Detroit's playing solid baseball, but they're still two games under 500. They haven't quite played to their potential so far this season. And then the Brewers come right back home for the Toronto Blue Jays. So this is the week that you really are able to assess what the Brewers are capable of and figure out what they're going to look like for the rest of the season. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the show, stay with us. Brewers win 4-3 and 10 on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Brewers victorious 4-3 in extras. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon joining us shortly here on the program to break down this victory for the Crew. Start talking a little bit about Robert Gasser today. Robert went five innings today, seven hits, three runs, all earned. No walks, three strikeouts, but two home runs allowed, both of them to lefties. And I'm not alarmed by it because both of those pitches were mistakes, and he would tell you the same thing. The pitch to Benintendi on an 0-2 pitch hung a breaking ball right down the middle. See ya. And then finally, Gavin Sheets, the two-run shot that made it 3-1 at the time in the fourth inning, that was a cutter in that caught too much of the middle third of the plate for a lefty, and most lefties don't miss those, no matter if you're right-handed or left-handed or, you know, throw with your foot out there on the mound. If it's middle into a lefty, they generally love that, especially a power hitter like Gavin Sheets. But Gasser obviously did not have his best stuff today. And when I look at some of the underlying stuff, we dive a little bit deeper into this box score for Gasser. Only 77 pitches, 54 strikes. A thing to remember with Gasser today, I was openly wondering, like, man, that seems like kind of an early hook for Gasser today. But then you remember, this was only his second start on big league rest, meaning on the fifth day. And he had previously had an extra day of rest each of the last two starts. And in his previous start where he had big league rest on the fifth day, in that game he only threw 82 pitches. The Brewers have been very careful right around the 80-pitch mark for Gasser as they build him up. They have a plan for him coming off of these bone spurs. Make sure they don't overdo it early, so that he is available late in the season. This is kind of what the Pirates did with Paul Skeens. Everyone was asking, bring him up. What are you waiting for? Bring him up. It's like, well, look, do you want us to bring him up now and then limit him at the end of the season? Or wait, play it out, and then have him be full strength at the end of the season so we can have a normal season? Look, let's be honest here, too. The Brewers are going to need Robert Gasser the entire season. He is not going to be an up-and-down guy. He is in this rotation, period. When Jacob Junis comes back, he's going to be more out of a bullpen role. Joe Ross hasn't thrown off a mound yet. Robert Gasser is here to stay, and Craig Kishon welcomed in here. Craig, even if Robert looks human for a game, it's okay to see a little bit of adversity from him because, quite frankly, this makes me even more excited to see him pitch in his next start, what adjustments he can make on this big league rotation going every fifth day as opposed to every fourth, because it's about adjustments. It's about rookies being able to understand what it takes to stay in the big leagues, and Gasser is going to be given every opportunity to stay in the big leagues.
Yeah, well, I agree 100% with that. Of course he will. And I don't think that he had a bad outing today. I think, you know, Murph brought up a pretty good point. You know, he just wasn't finishing on a lot of his pitches today. But I think that's also part of the learning curve. And I think we clearly saw that today. But he still gave you five innings, and he still kept you very, very, very much in the game, too. It's not like he got hit hard. So that just hasn't happened to him yet. Gave up a couple of home runs. But these guys have to go through these things, and they have to go through a variation of those. You know, sometimes, you know, good pitchers just get their brains beat in, too. And, you know, you hope that doesn't happen. But y'all learn from anything that you go through on this level, and it's how you handle it. That's the bottom line. And I have zero question whether or not he's going to be able to handle it or not. I too am looking forward to his next start, because if this was a bad one, I mean, it wasn't bad at all. And if he needs to make some adjustments, all these young guys have done a really good job so far.
And looking at Gasser, you mentioned the finishing pitches. With two strikes today, you know, he had 17 pitches with a two-strike count. Not just 0-2, but period having two strikes. He gave up three hits on it, including one of the home runs. And for Gasser, he has swing and miss ability. He only had three strikeouts today, which, you know, is fine. He's not necessarily going to blow you away with his velocity, or the breaking ball is the big thing for him. But for me, what I saw from the sweeper is exactly what Murphy saw. He's just not getting the same sort of bite on it. He only had six whiffs today, and two of them on that signature slider. He did try to mix in the changeup a little bit more today, given how many righties he was facing. I thought the changeup was a pretty effective pitch, but only 50% of his sliders were strikes today. And as we know, that's the pitch he throws generally the majority of the time. He needs that to be effective to last longer into a game and maybe not have so many deep counts and so much contact against the secondary pitches.
Right, and that's exactly it. He's got to go a little bit deeper because he has the capability to do that. And I think here's the other thing. Maybe you mentioned this already before I jumped on. The fact he didn't walk anybody either today. I mean, if this game, I'm not saying this was a bad game at all, but if this was an off game, according to him, and maybe, you know, the pitching coaches and stuff, just the fact of where he is in his big league, his young big league career, he's issued one walk in 28 innings. So those are the other things that sometimes go a little bit unnoticed, or maybe aren't appreciated as much as, you know, he had very few base runners. Yeah, he gave up a couple of home runs, but, you know, one of them was a solo shot. The other one was a two-run shot. So he'll get there. He'll get there. I've got all the confidence in this guy. I mean, I think this has been a tremendous addition to this starting rotation.
I mean, here's a number for you, Craig. Of the 77 pitches Gasser threw today, only 12 of them were when he was behind in the count. Once again, no 2-0 counts for the second consecutive start. He is still yet to have a 3-0 count in the big leagues for him. And to me, what I see in this count breakdown is the sweeper just kind of failed him today. He was getting ahead once again, which is his calling card, and the fact that he's able to work ahead is big. But today was, like you said, not being able to finish and not being able to get weak contact. We saw a lot of loud contact today against Gasser.
Yeah, that's what we're not used to seeing, but he's going to have some days like that. And it's, you know, he may give up, you know, have a two or three home run, you know, day where he's given that up and go deeper in games and do some other things for this team to, you know, keep him in it. I think, you know, the whole thing is there's so much promise with him, and there's so much raw ability, and this guy's got so much poise too that this has been a big addition here at this point, like I said. And, you know, I can't wait to see him make his next start too. They're, you know, got some decisions to make here of how they're going to handle things now that they sent Myers away here. And we'll see how clever and creative they get on the road, especially at Philly, who's got some tremendous top of the order left-handed hitters as well. So we'll see how this all turns out in the next few days.
I mean, when you look at it for next Wednesday, that would be the next spot for Tobias Myers' spot in the rotation. Now, Junk has starting experience. The Brewers have used him as a spot starter. They've used him as a bulk reliever. He's relieved a little bit in the minors. He started a little bit in the minors this season. He's done a little bit of everything. You know, in theory, it would be Junk's day against the Phillies, but also in theory, you could just make it a bullpen day. We know Junis is getting closer. He's not going to be activated for the Phillies series. But in theory, the Brewers can just go ahead and say, you know what, with the off day coming on Thursday, let's just have Junis face one time through the order, and then maybe it's Brian Hudson one time through the order, and then it's, you know, so on and so forth from there. That's getting ahead of ourselves here, but you're right. There are decisions looming here. Junis is on the mend. Ross has not yet thrown off of a mound. D.L. Hall is still playing catch and still awaiting word on his knee on the second opinion that they're waiting on from Dr. Neil Elitrosh. So they're in a little bit of a twilight zone right now, but the only redeeming quality is they'll have back-to-back weeks with an off day that saves them from needing a fifth starter beyond next Wednesday for another 2 weeks.
Don't forget my guy Jared Koenig there, Dom. Don't forget about him. He's got two openers already. Let's go.
Well, let's talk about the bullpen then, huh? I mean, I just tweeted this a moment ago, and the numbers speak for themselves. This series, the Brewers' bullpen has thrown 9 2/3 innings. They've allowed 3 hits, no runs, 1 hit batter, no walks, 12 strikeouts, and a 100 opponent batting average. The White Sox basically imagine the worst-case scenario. 6 innings, 16 hits, 11 runs, 6 walks, 8 strikeouts, a 471 opponent batting average. The Brewers' bullpen, this is where they shine, even with some of the warts in the starting rotation of all the injuries they've had to deal with. The bullpen is where they get the job done.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. It's such a two-way street, it seems like, in a lot of these wins for Milwaukee. And, of course, this series, we can see all that. And I think a lot of this, too, and I mentioned this on the post-game show, it's just where this opponent is right now that Milwaukee's facing. I mean, the White Sox are struggling so badly. It's if you're a good team like the Brewers here right now, you'll find your spot if you're patient, and the Brewers are very patient. You'll find your spot and you'll make your attack. And I think we've seen that the last two games, and it's worked out very well that it turned out to be the bullpen. And, you know, just mentally and physically not to let, you know, starting pitching wear you down, because Brewers didn't get much off of that the last couple of days. So their own bullpen, though, has been tremendous. I mean, the lack of the free passes that they're issuing has been huge. You know, the Brewers starters the last two games have given up the runs, and the bullpen obviously has not, but they've covered a lot of distance. So it is tremendous, and you know how it is. You add them up. There's, you know, 5-6 guys sometimes a night getting the job done for, you know, what you just have to call team wins now.
And furthermore, they save, you know, everybody gets one inning of work, and they saved Brian Hudson availability for tomorrow. You can throw Piamps on back-to-back days if need be. You can throw Enoli Paredes tomorrow. They've got Koenig available tomorrow. So there's certainly options to use. And furthermore, maybe the best part about today, and we'll wrap the segment with this, how important was it to get Trevor McGill back on the mound today, just 4 days after taking a shot in the elbow?
Yeah, and would you have even known it, right? But here's the thing. They figured out a way to give him 3 full days rest, and they also figured out a few days ago that putting him on the 15-day injured list would be detrimental to this staff if they didn't need to. So, you know, they took their time. These guys covered for him the last couple of games, and, you know, since he's been out, the Brewers have won, too, so that says a lot about who his teammates are in the bullpen here right now. But I thought he looked exceptional, sharp. He had his velocity. He ends up with 3 strikeouts in that 7th inning. They wanted to have it be kind of a lower stress outing and not a save situation for him, his first time out since that injury. And it worked out really perfectly, really brilliantly, the way they laid it out. So that's great stuff.
It was fantastic stuff how they worked around it. Good to see McGill popping 99s once again today for the Brew Crew. They win 4-3 in 10 innings over the White Sox. We'll talk a little offense, talk a little bigger picture here. As the Brewers win another series, they've guaranteed a winning homestand. Fun times indeed here at American Family Field. Brewers win. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory 4-3. They've won the series over the White Sox. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow. Good times. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. You know, I talked about it earlier that, look, Crochet had the goods today, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Brewers fans know what good pitching looks like. That was good pitching, and generally, good pitching is going to win in baseball. And quite frankly, I'm not mad about the approach or some of the at-bats that we saw against Crochet. He had command of all three of his primary pitches, the fastball, the cutter, and the slider. Only a handful of changeups today, but from what I saw from Crochet, I was very, very impressed. The only walk he allowed today was an 8-pitch battle with Gary Sanchez from 0-2 to 3-2, so he had the goods. The Brewers waited him out and then finally got to the White Sox bullpen.
Yeah, they had a little bit of traffic against him in this game. I don't think he had a 3-up, 3-down inning before he was up, but not huge threats for sure, but he was definitely, he had his command. Especially of that cutter, and also reached the 100-pitch plateau for the first time, you know, in his career as a major leaguer as well. He had it going. I you know, look, sometimes you got to tip your cap, and then when you get to the bullpen, you gotta you know, wreak havoc, and that's what the Brewers are able to do here today.
When you look at the offense today, and I've been loving this lineup setup for lefties, given the Brewers have found something that works, making sure Gary is playing against lefties, putting Joey Ortiz at the top of the order. And man, I could spend an hour talking about Joey Ortiz and how impressed I have been with Joey Ortiz to this point in the season. But keeping Terang in there, I think, is so huge for the Brewers, because Terang in the ninth spot keeps a little bit of pressure, and it keeps, you know, you're identifying, okay, well, yeah, it's left on left, but you can't walk him because it's going to become a double. And today, he got his 20th stolen base of the year. He got yet another two-strike hit, and he got the rally started in the seventh inning with a walk against Justin Anderson, who's a righty, and he probably would have come in to pinch hit anyway at some point. But Terang staying in the order keeps this lineup versatile, even when they're facing a lefty, in my opinion, because in the past, right, Craig, we would see that, oh no, can't play a lefty, can't play Terang against lefties, no chance at all. Even though these guys come up in the minor leagues always playing against lefties, I am glad they're sticking with Bryce, giving him a chance against southpaws.
Well, look, I mean, you only have to go back to that Miami series when they faced three left-handed starters in the three-game series, and Terang didn't start any of them. I thought their offense was lackluster. I thought at times it makes you think if you're not giving in too much for not putting some of your best hitters out there, and it may have cost them the series. They lost 2 out of 3. And now, next time you face one, you're leaving Terang in there, but you're putting him in, you know, more of a strategic spot for your lineup. And I think it worked well today. I mean, second time through, he was able to lead off the bottom of the third and get that base hit going the other way. And then you're right. If he's on, it's as good as a double because he stole his base and he ends up scoring the first run with Joey Ortiz doing the damage at the top this time of the lineup in that third inning. So I love these two together going back to back right now. These two young guys, Ortiz and Terang, are creating a lot of damage to opposing pitching right here. And it's been fun to watch because Terang does his thing just like we saw today. So he's his own storyline, and Ortiz is ripping the you-know-what out of the ball here right now. And he's just fun to watch as a hitter.
Let me give you four of his five exit velos today. The line out on the first pitch of the game in the first inning was 101 off the bat to deep left. Then the double off of Crochet to right center, that was 103 off the bat. The ground out against Crochet was 105 off the bat. And then finally, against Kopech, a guy who throws 100 but also has a hammer slider, he gets a hanging slider, he hits it 100 to the deepest part of the park in dead center field, and if it was an 80-degree summer day like it's supposed to be on June 1st, that ball might be out of here. Instead, Joey Ortiz has, you know, a 1-for-5 day, which is not bad, a double and a run scored, but you can see why folks are so bullish on him and why the Brewers are really salivating at the fact, like, man, he's just starting to scratch his potential as he is leading a lot of categories among qualified rookies right now. He's a dark horse for Rookie of the Year. I don't like how the voting works, that you're allowed to vote for Shota Imanaga or a Yoshinobu Yamamoto, because those guys have already been professionals for multiple years in their career. Joey Ortiz is finally getting a chance to play every day, and it's very impressive.
Well, you know, maybe he'll be rookie of the year here for the Brewers, and that's really all that matters at this point, because he's putting up some really impressive numbers. Look, just about everything he's done offensively, I'm not sure that anybody quite expected this. He's confident. He's got the poise of all these other young guys. He's no different. But his hitting, too, he's just not getting base hits and getting on base, and then that's it. Everything he seems to be doing, especially, you know, lately and on this homestand, are meaningful. You know, that double he hit today, his only hit of the game, was an RBI, and you're doing something with that, and then you're putting extra pressure on, you know, when he's on the bases. So he's just been a lot of fun to watch. He's an entertaining, hardworking, you know, hitter, and he's pretty good over there at third base too, in the hot corner, and that position has been pretty vacant for the most part for top tier talent in recent years here for Milwaukee. So I think they may have found something in Joey Ortiz over there.
So you add in today, he's now 17 for his last 52. Live math here on the air, that's a .327 batting average. And over this stretch, he has more walks than strikeouts. He has more doubles than strikeouts. I think the most underrated thing about Joey Ortiz is his ability to put the bat on the ball. He doesn't chase. He doesn't swing and miss at pitches that he shouldn't be swinging and missing at. And he just does not strike out. Now, part of that is because he swings so early in the count and he's not afraid to jump at a first pitch that he likes. But if you're putting up those numbers over his last 15 games, in which he's only had one day off over these last 15 games, man, the sky's the limit for a guy that understands where his barrel is and what he needs to do to make contact.
I think the thing that I like about all those things that you describe, but especially the fact that, you know, he just doesn't strike out, that's as advertised. That was, you know, I think one of the attractions when, you know, the Brewers were looking at bringing him over here in that trade with Baltimore. That's what this offense needs more of. And so we can say that Hoskins and Sanchez and whatnot have been, you know, great additions as veterans. And as it turns out, Ortiz has been a tremendous rookie addition to this club, because he certainly is not playing like it for sure right now. And just the fact that he finds a way to get on and not too many, make too many outs, you know, at the plate, like we've seen a lot of strikeouts in the past with this ball club. I think those numbers, we may think they're high, but I got to imagine that those numbers are going down a little bit. And I like their aggressiveness at the plate. And he's, you know, sometimes that can be a little bit contagious with the other guys. So, you know, maybe he's having his impact too on some of these other hitters in this lineup.
Let me end it with you on this here as we wrap up here at the top of the hour. We'll go for another 30 minutes hearing from Murph and highlights in a moment. But Craig, I wanted to ask you, okay, it's June 1st. We're more than a third of the way in. Some people think it's still early. I don't. I don't look at the standings yet. Things are starting to get crystallized, if you will, of understanding what's sticky and what's not sustainable. The Brewers are now 12 games over .500. It seems like there's nothing slowing them down because they're getting reinforcements. Devin Williams, Garrett Mitchell, Jacob Junis, Joe Russ. These guys are coming back. Is it real now? Like, can you actually start sitting here and saying the Brewers are a playoff contender, a legitimate contender for the pennant?
Yes, I think so, because we're at that point. I mean, if your identity hasn't been established yet, and some teams they're not established until late in the year when you're fortunate enough to make some kind of run and surprise some teams. But if that's the case, they're leapfrogging teams that have done it the whole year. I don't see them in that situation at all. I see them as a team that's very much identified who they are. They do need a boost in starting pitching. I think we all can agree to that. But their bullpen, the league doesn't want to face their bullpen. That's huge. Their lineup, top to bottom right now, is as good as just about any out there. And that's, to me, the dramatic improvement over the last several years have kept this team from advancing in the playoffs. We saw that case in point in that what turned out to be just the two-game series last year to Arizona. So their defense is outstanding. I just think it's, you know, it's very good. Is it excellent? I'd say it's very good at this point, but very good sometimes will win you a heck of a lot of ball games. So all around, this team is legit. There's no question about it. I do look at the standings, and I've taken pleasure in where they're sitting right now because, quite frankly, I think just as I remove myself from my job and make myself a fan for right now, this is what I'm enjoying because this is what this franchise has established for itself over the last several years. In the 5 out of 6 years making the playoffs, you have to be up there in the standings. You have to be in first place. You have to try to take control of your division and win your division. That's the best way to get to the postseason. And right now, they're in good shape.
This is a fun time to be a Brewers fan, to say the least. And it makes it easy for us to talk about it. Craig Sean here on 620 WTMJ. Craig, thanks again, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, all right?
Sounds good, Dom.
All right, Craig Kishon joining us here on the program. We'll talk a little bit about that pitching market. It's kind of cloudy right now, and we might have seen two of guys that could be shifting homes coming up this deadline, and maybe some other guys we got to talk about. That's coming up next, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win 4-3 in 10. Willy Adames the winner today. They've won the series. They've won three series in a row. And they'll go for the sweep tomorrow against the White Sox. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Is your AC unit more than 10 years old? Through June 15th, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you $1,500 on a new unit. Visit Sider.com to schedule an appointment today. That's S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Talking about the pitching market here, and we know the Brewers are going to be looking. They're always calling. We talked to Matt Arnold yesterday of the full media session with Matt Arnold and Mark Adonasio, talking just state of the Brewers right now. And as Matt generally repeats himself saying, we are always looking to improve our team. And one of the things that is obviously going to come up is starting pitching. And that's, I mean, who doesn't need starting pitching at this point? When you look at some of the guys that are due to be immediate free agents this coming year. You know, you've got not many guys that would be traded as far as a one-year, you know, hey, for the rest of the season rental that are super desirable right now. You look at a lot of guys that are hurt, too. I don't see the Cardinals getting rid of Kyle Gibson. I don't see, obviously, the Braves aren't going to get rid of Max Fried. The Guardians have Shane Bieber that's hurt right now. Walker Buehler is not leaving the Dodgers. Mike Clevinger with the White Sox. There's not a lot of the one-year guys or just the this-year guys. It's, you have to go a little bit deeper into the guys like Jesus Luzardo, to the guy like we saw today, Garrett Crochet, who's not a free agent until after the 2026 season heading into 2027. So he's got 2.5 years of team control. Or even Eric Fetty, who wasn't his best yesterday, but he's got plenty of experience under his belt. And he actually signed a 2-year deal to come back stateside. So he is actually already signed for the 2025 season, then can be a free agent heading into 2026. So these are guys that they are certainly going to be fielding calls on the White Sox on Crochet and on Fetty. Then out of the bullpen, you got Kopech who could be listening in on. But what it's going to take is, when do you strike the iron? And look, you look honestly at the Brewers roster construction. They obviously have a lot of outfielders. And to get something pretty, you got to give up something pretty. Not every trade works out like the William Contreras deal. Not every trade seems as horrible as the Josh Hader trade does now, but it's something like that. I will say, I would be absolutely flabbergasted, shocked, just absolutely ridiculous if the Brewers traded Willy Adames. I know some folks saw the headline yesterday from that meeting with Matt Arnold and Mark Adonasio, talking about how they're always listening to offers and trying to see what can make the team better. They have already fielded offers on Willy Adames. They've been fielding offers. I can promise you, I've had sources tell me the Brewers have had plenty of offers on Willy Adames, and they have offered Willy Adames an extension. Ultimately, it is Willie's right to test free agency. This can be a mutual thing. It's not just sign the dotted line, you're ours. There are reasons for the player to not want to sign an extension. There could be more out there for him. With all that being said, again today, Willie gets the walk-off. He is the lifeblood of this clubhouse. I would think the Brewers learned their lesson from the Josh Hader trade in 2022. Granted, 2 years later, we see what it has netted. The guy who started today, and in a way, the guy who was behind the plate, and one of the guys who threw today in Yoel Piams. I would be shocked if they do that. However, if you're going to go get a Jesus Luzardo, if you're going to go get a Crochet, you may have to say goodbye to a fan favorite. So just be prepared for that. We've got a little over 2 months until the trade deadline. It's a weird date this year because of the scheduling and things like that. It's July 30th this year, not the 31st. It is the 30th. That is a Tuesday to make sure that teams can get on their way, because Wednesdays are generally travel days for teams in baseball. So you don't want to have it on a Wednesday and have guys moving all around for a day game and then the deadline happening in the middle of a day game. So Tuesdays are night games. Should be able to survive that. So just some little thoughts there. Guys that the Brewers could be targeting, and maybe they don't get anybody. Remember, you got to have room on the 40-man roster to make something happen like that. And one move leads to the next. It's a whole domino train to figure out. Brewers get the victory in extras. We're going to hear from Pat Murphy coming up next. Highlights a little bit later on. We're going to the bottom of the hour here at 7:30, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the win. Pat Murphy in a good mood. I mean, if you listen to Brewers warm-up today, we were all-encompassing with Pat Murphy today. We talked soups. We talked boxing. What else did we talk about? We talked about cheese. We talked about this team. We talked about being relentless. We talked about a lot of different things today. Pat Murphy, always interesting. Here's what he had to say after a victory today.
I'm comfortable with our whole group up there. You know, I think it's the more times you're in that spot, you know, you can't come through every time, but yeah, Willie certainly is one that you'd want up there in those deals. So, yeah, we did just enough. That kid pitched tremendous for them. I mean, he's all that he's advertised, and their bullpen was good too. So, you know,
do you use that word relentless again to describe today for your offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it doesn't always appear the same way when you're facing, you know, great stuff. I mean, we faced great stuff today. It doesn't always appear that way, but I think they kept themselves in the game. They played defense. Churio's catch, a couple Perkins' catches. Churio's catch in right field. A couple of the, you know, double play we turned with Ortiz. His footwork was great. Turned by Terang was great. You know, I always refer to William and the job he does, and you know, Gasser didn't have his best stuff for sure. Koenig didn't have his best stuff for sure. And then the other three, you know, Hobie, God, you know, he answers the bell every time, you know. So I thought he was great. It's a good win. It's a good win because it can go the other way real quick.
McGill and his first game back. He wasn't missing a beat.
He wasn't?
It seemed like he wasn't missing a beat at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, I felt like give him an outing to see where he's at, you know, not put him in the fire necessarily, although it's still leverage. But I'm glad he came out of it feeling okay. You know, we're going to need him.
Murph, that situation for Hobie, you know, it's a couple of years now, the runner on second thing, but do you think the relievers will ever get used to that or ever feel it's got to be impossible to feel comfortable in that position?
Yeah, but I mean, it is for everybody, you know what I mean? And it doesn't, they understand what you can try too hard to keep the guy there, meaning you got to still pitch to your strengths, you still got to execute pitches, and sometimes hitters will put it in play and move the runner to third, and then they'll score on a ground ball or score on a sac fly. That's part of it. You know, I think they think it's a success if I just give up one. You know, it's a great success somehow if I could shut him down the way he did. But he's a testament to, you know, just doing, being yourself. Don't try to do too much. And he was terrific.
Pat, what did you see from Robert today? You said he obviously didn't have his best stuff, but what did you see?
He just didn't, there was no finish on anything. He didn't look super sharp. No swing and miss. You know, that's not normally him. You know, he still filled up the zone. But, yeah, when that many barrels, I started thinking they had a tip. You know what I mean? Like that many barrels on the ball, the lefty sweeper, left on left sweeper, hit twice for homers. You know, like.
He really didn't throw that four seamer much at all today, and when he did, the velocity was down a couple ticks. Is there anything you saw there? Just not having that pitch. Do you think he?
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't look right to me. He didn't look right to me. But you know, he competed and kept throwing the ball in the zone, and I'm like, he's not right. You
know? Did William kind of do a good job of guiding him through that a little bit?
I think he recognized, like, hey, I got to be a little different here today. So,
yeah, they switched over to the changeup. They started mixing things a little bit more sinkers, fewer sweepers, because the sweeper just was not. And the velo was a little bit down today, too. And like we talked about, only his second big league start on big league rest, right, on the fifth day. So that's something certainly to monitor for his next time around. His next spot in the rotation, though, won't come up until after the off day. So he will get another day off, an extra day coming into his next start, as he'll be on a every sixth-day schedule for his next two starts. Up next, highlights. We're going to relive a walk-off victory for the Brewers over the White Sox to claim the series on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and White Sox, game two of this three-game series over the weekend. Dollar Dog Day here at the park, 36,000 strong. We're on hand enjoying it. This game featured a pair of southpaws, Robert Gasser and Garrett Crochet, on the mound. However, it would be the White Sox that would open the scoring in the third. A solo homer from Andrew Benintendi. He would later exit, though, due to left Achilles tendonitis. Later in that third, though, a little bit of momentum generated by the Brewers' defense and a young rookie in right.
2-2. Lined out towards right, Churio on the run, in the corner, diving, and he made the catch! Wow, Jackson Churio!
He's been a different defender since the talking to he had on Tuesday night. He has been very solid so far in the last couple of days. The Brewers, though, looking a way to respond in the bottom of the third inning. It all started with a leadoff single by who else but Bryce Terang. Next up, the top of the order, Joey Ortiz.
Crochet kicks the leg, brings home the pitch. This is lined into right center field. That'll get down. One hop the wall in right center. Terang cruising around third. He will score. Ortiz puts on the brakes at second. It's an RBI double, and we are tied at one. Joey Ortiz just keeps on slugging.
Joey Ortiz, however, he will be left stranded as the call came from Lane Grindle. Still 1-1 game. Gavin Sheets would go yard, though, in the fourth, avoiding the shutdown inning. It was an odd day for Robert Gasser. That made it 3-1 at the time. Gasser was done after five innings. He did not factor into the decision. The Brewers had no answer for Garrett Crochet. He was fantastic today. He struck out eight, including three of the last four outs that he had were all strikeouts today. Finally into the White Sox bullpen, though, in the seventh inning in a rally form. A one-out walk by Terang. He advanced to second on a walk by Contreras with two outs. They change pitchers again, go to Jordan Leisure. He walked Christian Yelich. It loaded the bases. Two outs. Willie Adames.
Now the 1-1. Ground ball back up the middle and into center field for a base hit. Terang is home. Around third is Contreras. He is going to score. This game is tied at three on an two RBI single from Willie Adames here in the seventh.
Huge from Willie. He did not have a hit yesterday, and he wasn't even done today. More on him in a moment. Still, though, it was only tied 3-3. The Brewers were deep into their bullpen, and they were fantastic today. In the top of the ninth, though, Elvis Peguero hit the reverse batter he faced. He would strike out Dominic Fletcher and then was facing Danny Mendick.
Sosa leads from first, the pitch, ground ball to third, Ortiz has it, goes second, one to first, two double play. They go around the horn, Ortiz spun it perfectly, Terang for the quick exchange. Chance to win it, Terang, Ortiz and Contreras coming up in the bottom of the ninth in the 3-3 game.
They were not able to win it in the bottom of the ninth, it would just take one more inning. In the 10th inning though, the Brewers used Hobie Milner. He retired the side 1-2-3. So all he had to do was score one. The first batter was Yelich. They decided to intentionally walk him. Both Yelich and Contreras advanced on a wild pitch to move to second and third during Willie's at-bat. He fell behind 1-2, but the man is clutch, and the man knows how to put bat to ball.
Kopech, the pitch. Ground ball through the left side. Off the glove of Remillard and into left field. Contreras trots home, and Willie Adames has won this game for the Brewers in walk-off fashion here in the bottom of the 10th.
Doesn't matter if you hit it 400 feet or just 40 feet, Willie got the job done, and the Brewers win 4-3 in 10 innings. They've claimed the series. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow. We'll preview that coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes here of the show. Brewers already beat up on the Northsiders. Now they're beating up on the Southsiders, and they'll go for a sweep tomorrow. 1:10 first pitch. We're on the air at noon. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up. That goes till 12:35, and then the network coverage will take over from there for a 1:10 first pitch. Nick Nastrini against Freddie Peralta. Nastrini, it will only be his fifth start, quite frankly. It has not been pretty. He had a better start last week against the Blue Jays. He had four walks, though. He has walked 17 batters in 16 in the third innings, only 13 strikeouts. He's also allowed four home runs. But, hey, you cannot take any opponent for granted, and Freddie Peralta will have the ball for the Brewers. He is 3-3, a 3.61 ERA. And an interesting stat that jumped out to me right now for the Brewers as I look around the league and look at some things that are important to the Brewers, they are first in baseball in on-base percentage. First out of all of baseball. Third in total hits. Second in total runs. Fourth in batting average. Fifth in slugging. Third in OPS. Huh. I'm not used to this. I don't think a lot of Brewers fans are used to having an elite offense like this. It's been a few years. So it's been very fun to watch for the Brewers. Now, after this weekend, they will go on the road for a 6-game-in-7-day road trip, 3 against the Philadelphia Phillies and 3 against the Detroit Tigers, and then they come back home for the Blue Jays and the Reds next week. And then, you know, before you know it, we're going to be done with the month of June, and toward the end of the month, it gets interesting. They have a West Coast trip. You always hold your breath about a West Coast trip, and furthermore, it's the family trip, where they go against the Angels and they go against the Padres. And the Padres have been playing a lot better baseball as of late. So that's going to be something later on in the month that we're monitoring. But basically, once you get through Philly, you're not going to be facing a quote-unquote expected playoff team for a little while. You know, you'll get Detroit, you'll get Toronto, you'll get Cincinnati, then you'll get the Angels, and then you get the Padres. Now, the Padres will be the next one after Philly, a team that expects to be in the postseason. Then you get the Rangers, and the Rangers just haven't been themselves without their full pitching rotation. Then you get the Cubs one more time here at the end of the month. That's looking ahead, but the Brewers are in first place. Vibes are good, to say the least. They are 35-23, best record in the Central. The Reds and Cubs are delayed. The Phillies are up on the Cardinals 4-1, so that's also good news. The Pirates, they beat up on the Blue Jays today, though, so it wasn't all losses for the Central Division for those chasing the Brew Crew. That'll do it for us here this evening. Hope you tune in tomorrow. Again, we're on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up. First pitch is at 1:10. My thanks to my guest, Craig Sean, and for our producer, Isaac Marquardt. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win 4-3 in extras, and until next time, keep on swinging.